This is Molly, and you are listening to episode 71 of the Clean Food Dirty Girl podcast. How's it going? Happy to be here with you today. Today's episode is all about miso. Well, not all about miso. I want to give you some ideas about how to use miso. A lot of people will buy some miso thinking that, or maybe they'll see one recipe that calls for some miso, and then they'll buy a container, and then it sits in their fridge for the next 5 years, and they are not sure what to do with it. So if you have some miso hanging out in your fridge, this is a great episode for you. So miso, actually, it's funny because when I was little, whenever I would get sick, my mom would always make me miso broth. So this is something that I have grown up with, that I grew up with, and I've eaten since I was a kid. So it was something very common for me. This wasn't something that I was newly introduced to when I started eating healthy. This is a comfort food for me. Miso is always so comforting and tastes so good and so warm, and just, it's like a bowl. It's like a hug in a bowl that my mom made me. That's what it is. And I've been eating a lot of it lately. And so I thought I would just do an episode kind of dedicated to it. So if you look online and you just Google like health benefits of miso, you're going to find a lot of information out there. And I'm sure that there are a lot of benefits, a lot of health benefits from eating miso. And I'm not going to so much go into that, because like with any kind of food, when people start sort of like, touting the power of one specific food and having it be this sort of miracle food, I kind of roll my eyes a little bit. because I think that, and this is just my opinion, but I am of the opinion that if you're eating a whole food plant-based diet and incorporating lots of different plants into your eating routine, then the combination of all of those is really what provides the power and what provides so many health benefits, not only because nutrient-dense plant-based foods like veggies and whole grains and beans and legumes and fruit and nuts and seeds individually have a lot of nutrients and fiber, but they also, it's how they work together when they're in the body and sort of how they work synergistically to provide the maximum health benefit. So I'm a fan of eating lots of different types of plant foods rather than focusing on how amazing and miraculous one specific food is to our health. Now, that doesn't mean that there's really healthy, you know, plants out there like turmeric and like, I don't know, flax seeds, chia seeds, like miso. These are all amazing. But I think it's more helpful to emphasize eating a wide range of whole plant foods rather than just focusing on how powerful one particular food is. Now, that said, miso is a fermented food. So miso is typically fermented soybeans, although there are different types of miso. There is chickpea miso and barley miso, and let's see, my favorite miso company right now that I can get here in Hawaii, there's not as many varieties here as there are in the mainland, or certainly in other places in the world. So Miso Masters is the one that I like to buy. It's organic, non-GMO, all that good stuff, and it's fermented for a nice amount of time. So, but apart from just soybean miso, right, you can get brown rice miso, chickpea miso, barley miso, and then the traditional red miso, which is made out of soybeans. And you can buy white miso, which is fermented for a shorter amount of time and is a little bit lighter in flavor. And then red miso is fermented for longer, and it's more, it packs a bigger punch. It has more umami. It's more salty. And it's just more flavorful. So you would use white miso for things like dressings, and stuff like salad dressings and stuff like that. And then the dark miso is made in like, is used for broths and soups and stuff like that. So I'm going to give you some specific ideas on how to use miso in a moment. But first, I just wanted to let you know that there are different, there are different types of miso out there. So when you're like, okay, I really want to make a soup, don't get the light miso or the white miso. Sometimes it's called sweet white miso. You know, get the dark red miso for soups and stuff. But if you have a dressing that you want to make and add with miso, then get the white or the sweet white miso. So any fermented food is going to be really healthy for the body. It's going to act as a probiotic. And the more probiotics we eat, the happier our gut is. But keep in mind, probiotics work best when they have something to feed on. So a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on eating probiotic-rich foods or taking probiotic supplements, but then they don't consider eating foods that are rich in prebiotics. So when we eat prebiotic-rich foods, we're actually creating food for probiotics to munch on. So foods that are rich with prebiotics are things like onions and asparagus and celery and artichokes and stuff like that. I have a great blog post that I did about all this that I will link in the show notes if you want to learn more. So yeah, probiotics are great, but you know, eating onions and garlic and celery are just as important to kind of create a rich environment for the probiotics to feed on. So, yeah, so there's a lot of information about miso out there. A lot of information about health benefits and all of this, but here's my experience with miso, or one of them. I mean, I've always used it. I've always had it in my fridge. I've always made it fairly often. However, there was this one particular time that I really relied on miso, and I'm telling you, like, it really was a great reminder about how, I don't know, how well miso sits in my system anyway. So it was when it was like a few years ago, it was 2019, and I was in Malaysia, and this was during the time that Luann's dad was very sick with pancreatic cancer, and he was, you know, in the last stages of that, and we were in Malaysia for about 3 months, and I got really sick, and I had to be hospitalized, and the doctors ran lots of tests. They thought that I had a dengue fever from a mosquito bite, but they ran, he ran like so many dengue tests because he was like, you have all of the trademarks of dengue, but it's coming up negative. They ran a lot of other tests. I was hooked up to lots of different things. My platelets were really low. I was exhausted. I had a fever that they couldn't get under control. I couldn't eat. Like, I was just in bad shape. And they never did figure out what was wrong with me. I also had, like, I had a cough. I had trouble breathing. I was a hot mess. But in the hospital, they gave me a bunch of antibiotics. They gave me a bunch of other stuff. And eventually, I was able to leave and I was well enough to get on a plane and make my way back home. But before I went home, Luann and I went to Japan for like 10 days, and we had this trip planned for a long time, and I was feeling okay enough to do this. I wasn't feeling 100%, but it was like, okay. It was, I knew, like, as long as I didn't do a ton of things, I could probably do this trip. And so this was also about the same time that my skin started really breaking out, and I went through that whole year of figuring out what was up with my skin on my face. And then I, after a year of like researching and working on it, I figured out that I had perioral dermatitis, and that was a whole other thing. But this is around the time that that started kind of happening as well. So it was interesting timing for all these health things to creep up. But I was still pretty sick when I went to Japan. I was really, I did not have a lot of energy. I remember I could not, like, even if I walked one, you know, even if I walked like 10 stairs, I would just be totally out of breath and totally tired. And just, I had such fatigue. And my fever kind of kept coming and going. And I still wasn't great. But I went and just, we went to the hotel and I just like laid in bed. It's all I could do. And when we first got to Japan, I remember like that first night I was laying in the bed and I just remember crying. I remember crying and I was just, because I felt so sick and I text my sister. My sister Annalise, and I was like, can you talk? And she's like, oh, I'm like, I think that she was working or she was going into a meeting. And it was like a different time zone. So I couldn't call my mom or my other sister. And I remember just like crying in bed and just because I felt so, so bad. And I had felt sick for a while. I mean, it had been like a good 3 weeks of feeling like this. And then like while I was sick in Malaysia, my digestive system wasn't great. Like I was having a little bit of diarrhea and nausea, but that wasn't like the main thing. That was just sort of like one thing that I was experiencing along with a whole host of other things. But that night I got into Japan, like my stomach started hurting so, so bad. And it was like this sharp, sharp pain. And like my digestive system was just all out of whack. And I was thinking, well, that makes sense because I just had a ton of antibiotics. I had a lot of other medicine that I don't usually take. And so of course, like, you know, my gut, all my microbiome is all kind of out of whack, but it was so painful. It was like these shooting pains. And even like when I went to the bathroom, like when I went poop, like, sorry, TMI here, but I would just have these horrible abdominal pains. And it was just all out of whack. And so the next morning I was like, okay, if I don't feel better by tomorrow, I'm just going to go to the hospital here and see what's up. So I don't know. Sometime during the night, I was like, miso, I need to have miso. I need to eat miso. And so I think I sent Luann out to find me miso. And miso is awesome because as long as you have a fridge and a way to heat up some water, you can have miso broth, right? So I told her to find like the darkest miso that she could, because the darker the miso is, the longer it's fermented. And so I made a cup of just plain miso broth. I just boiled some water, waited for it to cool down a bit, added the water to the miso. I put it in a little cup that was in the hotel and I sipped that. The reason why I waited for the water to not be so hot is because if you boil miso, it kills the beneficial bacteria that the fermentation creates. So if you are making miso, don't boil it. And if you heat up miso to eat, don't heat it up so long that it's simmering or that it's boiling. You want to make it just warm, or else all that, I mean, you can boil it, but then all the beneficial bacteria goes away. So I made that a cup of miso broth, and I swear, like the rest of the day, I didn't have that pain. I was like, oh my God, I felt so much better. I still didn't feel 100%, but I didn't have that horrible pain. And so I kept doing it. Every morning I would just wake up and have a cup of miso soup before I did anything else. Like I'd have a little bit of water, then I'd have the miso and go on about my day. And I felt amazing. And then one morning I was feeling so good that I forgot, like I didn't do it one morning. I was like, okay, I'm just not going to do it. I feel good. And later that day, that horrible shooting pain came back. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what is this? And so I had some miso, and the next morning I kept it up, and I kept doing that like for a good, like the rest of the time I was in Japan. And then when I came home, I kept doing that as well. And then that like pretty much stopped. That shooting abdominal pain stopped. And I did, like, it came back once in a while, like once every couple of months. And I went to a doctor to see if I had like parasites or if like, you know, but the doctor couldn't find anything, and then it eventually just went away. But it was amazing. And that's totally like anecdotal, right? Like, I don't know if the miso magically made that pain disappear. I don't know. But the timing of it seemed like it did. And it was very comforting to me. So that's sort of my story with miso and the time that I really felt like this is doing something for my body. I don't know what. I can't prove it. I don't know. But when I eat this stuff, I feel better. So I just ate it because why not, right? If you find something that makes you feel better, especially if it's a healthy food, then awesome. So I wanted to tell you that story about it. And then also, like, even if I feel good, like, even if I feel, okay, like right now I feel awesome. I have no pains. But I've been eating a lot of miso soup just because I have it. It's easy. It's an easy thing to make on the side with whatever else I'm eating. And I just like to have some in my fridge. It's healthy. It's nice to make. And here's what I wanted to share. So you could do just the broth, right? You could make it as simple as putting some miso paste into a cup, adding some hot water, stirring it, and sipping it. That's like the easiest thing to do, but you can fancy it up as well. So last night what I did was I had some fresh corn, some fresh organic corn that I found from the farmer's market. And here in Hawaii, that is very rare to find organic corn on the cob. So I took the corn and I just took a knife and cut the kernels off from the ears. And I sauteed that in a pot. And then I added a bunch of chopped up kale and collard greens. And then I added some cubed tofu. And then some steamed cauliflower. And then I added some miso. I already had made some miso broth, so I had like a quart jar of it in the fridge. And then I just added that to the corn and the greens and the cauliflower and the tofu, heated that up. And then I added some brown rice noodles that I had cooked the night before. So I had these thin brown rice noodles. You get them in the Asian section of the grocery store. It's like the thinnest ones. You can't always find brown rice noodles. Sometimes it's like white rice, but it's the super, super, super thin ones. So I had those. I had cooked those the night before and I had leftover. So I just popped those in the soup and it was like so good, so delicious and comforting and delicious and packed like such a nutrient punch from all those veggies plus the miso broth. So I wanted to just come on here and remind you, like, you can do simple things with it, but also you can kind of fancy it up and you can make delicious soups. And you can add pretty much whatever you have. Like, if I would have had broccoli, I could have steamed some broccoli and added that. I could have done another really delicious thing in miso soup is like Savoy cabbage sliced really thin. That's another delicious thing. But if you go into Plant Fueled Life, if you are a Plant Fueled Life member, which you're not, you should be. Plant Fueled Life is amazing. It's our monthly membership where you have access to all of our whole food plant-based meal plans and recipes. And we put new recipes and meal plans into the classroom every single week. But if you go into Plant Fueled Life and you go into the recipe vault and you just search, put miso in the search bar, a ton of things are going to come up. So here are some ideas that you can incorporate if you're not a Plant Fueled Life member and you're like, I'm not a member. I'm not going to become a member right now, but I'm curious what to do with miso, with this like miso that you've had sitting in your fridge for the past few years. So salad dressing, that's one of my favorite things to make with miso. And my favorite I don't buy salad dressing because it's so easy to make and store-bought salad dressing has like lots of ingredients that aren't necessary. So I always make my own. One of my favorite, like top three salad dressings is miso tahini dressing. And the recipe is in the recipe vault, of course, but it's basically miso tahini water, some lemon juice, and a few other seasonings. But you can make like a really delicious dressing out of miso and tahini. Those two things go really, really well together. Another thing that's delicious is mixing just miso, tahini, and water, and just a little bit of water so it's not too runny, and putting that on like a baked potato or a baked sweet potato, kind of like you would put butter on, right? So, so yummy. Another thing we have in the recipe vault is garlic ginger miso drizzle. So garlic ginger miso drizzle. Oh my God. You can drizzle this on potatoes. You can drizzle it on just steamed veggies. So you could steam some zucchini and some peppers and some broccoli just in a steamer basket on the stove and then drizzle over this garlic ginger miso drizzle. So easy, so good. Lemony miso dressing, we have a recipe for. Creamy miso mashed potatoes. Yes, please, delicious. Warming beans and greens miso soup. So this is a miso soup with lots of greens in it, lots of beans in it, plus like mushrooms and peas. Really good. Here is a recipe for garlic ginger miso cucumber salad. So again, any kind of like a dressing for various types of salads are so good. Let's see, lots of different miso soups. Here's a roasted potato and farro bowl with ginger miso masala sauce. What? Yes, delicious. So there's a ton of things. Let's see. Oh, also we use miso a lot in Plant Fueled Life in our recipes. We use the white miso often to add to different plant-based cheesy sauces. So here's a mozzarella style cheese sauce that has it. Here's a smoky sharp cheddar sauce that has miso added to it, because it's really nice for adding some umami to recipes. Here's a garlic herb almond feta that has miso in it, seasoned roasted potatoes, and the marinade for that, it has miso in it. So you can do so many different things with miso. So really, like, most people think that miso is just like soup that you get at like a Japanese restaurant, right? But you can use it for so many things. Here's another like just recipe that I will throw together on a whim. I will do like the broth, right? I'll add the paste and the water. Now, here's the thing. You might be wondering, well, how much miso do I add? How much miso paste do I add? Literally, like, you just have to kind of taste it and add more miso if it needs to be a little bit more flavorful, and add more water if it's too strong, and just go from there. Like, let me see if I can open one of these recipes for a soup, and I can give you like a base idea. Let me see. So, okay. Okay, so this soup, and this is in Plant Fueled Life, this is just the simple miso soup, calls for 8 cups of water and 1/2 cup of miso. And again, it depends on the type of miso, because some misos are saltier than others. So if you're getting the dark miso, you might put a little bit less and just start with a little bit less. If you're using the white miso that's less salty, you may want to start with that amount and, like, you know, add more if you need it. So that gives you an idea, right? But really, you're just going to have to adjust, and that's what I do. I never measure it out. But anyway, so I make the broth, I put the paste in the water. I will boil some water, turn off the heat, let it set, and come down from boiling, and then add the miso, whisk it together, and just let that sit. And then I will saute some mushrooms. Like, I'll saute a bunch of mushrooms and add that to the miso. And then I will add seaweed to the miso, just dried wakame seaweed to the miso. Sometimes I add a touch of sesame oil. Now, I know that's not whole food plant-based, but sometimes I do it. Just a couple of drops really makes this amazing, amazing flavor. And then, oh, here's one thing that I do. When I'm boiling my water, I'll start with like a big pot of water, and I will take some ginger and peel the ginger and put it, you know, cut it into a few big chunks and just pop that into the water as it's boiling so that the water is kind of infused with the ginger flavor. And then I'll let that boil for like, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. Turn off the heat, let it set. I'll just leave that ginger in there. Then I'll add the miso, whisk it together, add a bunch of sauteed mushrooms, and then add the wakame seaweed and tofu, cubed tofu. And then I also like to add scallions or green onions, and then like a drop or two of sesame oil. And that's a really solid miso soup recipe. Now, again, we do have a recipe similar to that in Plant Fueled Life, and I think there's one on our blog as well. But I can link to all that stuff in the show notes. So that should give you an idea, like a place to start with this, and hopefully use up that miso that's currently sitting in your fridge begging to be used. Let me know how it goes. Let me know what you think. And if you have like digestive stuff going on, if you have like tummy troubles, make some just simple miso broth and sip on that and see if that helps. I am not saying that it is a miracle food that is, you know, far superior than any other plant-based food out there, like carrots or onions or kale. I think that, but certainly the fermentation definitely adds something special to it. And I think that it's a pretty special food. When eaten with a wide range of other whole plant foods, it's even more powerful. So that's my jam. I love me some miso. I hope you love it too. I hope you have an awesome week and that your gut and tummy health is in good shape. Okay, talk to you next time. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, you are going to love Plant Fueled Life, our monthly membership where we help you eat more plants and celebrate that beautiful human imperfection that we all have. You can try it out for free for 10 days by going to the show notes of this episode and clicking on free trial. You can also go to our website, cleanfooddirtygirl.com, and clicking on the banner at the top of the website, click on start free trial, and that'll get you there too. Also, if you enjoyed this episode or if you enjoy this podcast, will you do me a solid and rate and review it so that other people can find it as well? Okay, thanks so much.